before Sanford.
You have to just call him Louisiana now.
Nah, I know.
I don't like being called Louisiana Lafayette.
Well,
the University of Louisiana is actually easier anyway.
U of L?
Well, just say the University of Louisiana.
U of L?
Whatever. Anyway.
It's the same thing.
I guess. Yeah, that's true.
Potato, potato.
Okay. I got something on Twitter here from DJ Woo Pig. Anything ever come of Alex Collins' mom? I remember her talks of getting a lawyer at one time and wanting to fight the U of A. I don't remember that talk necessarily. I do remember her running away with his letter of intent. Yeah, so
Coach Bielema,
did you guys talk to Collins about this at all? Did that come up?
You know, I think a couple people did, and he just kind of he said, oh, everything's okay, everything's fine. And Coach Bielema talked about they mended the fence. They were able to reconcile and agree that it is the best place for him, and I think she's on board now. I think he said she's on board.
Well, that's good.
She kind of has to be because his dad signed it. So
that's true. Top 10 Tuesday, a little bit later, we're going to do the top 10 teams that are highly combustible and should lower their expectations for the coming season.
Okay.
According to this list.
Really?
Also have, don't ever do Jim Carrey again for me. I don't ever want to hear that again out of you, or I'm going to beat you. Okay. Also, I have a couple of things here that are notable. And you talked about mending a fence with Alex Collins' mother. I'm going to guess they did not give him the deal that Ricky Seals-Jones' dad claims that he got. You don't know who this kid is in most cases. He's
no,
a freshman wide receiver at Texas A&M. Unfortunately, fans around the SEC will probably be hearing a lot about him because apparently he was most highly sought-after wide receiver. His father, Chester Jones, says the five-star wideout left a $600,000 deal on the table from a collegiate powerhouse before ultimately choosing College Station as his new home. Armin Katane, the CBS reporter, with Sports Illustrated's Jeff Benedict, authoring a new book entitled The System, the Glory and Scandal of Big-Time College Football, in which they tackle various layers and angles of college football. Per the report, a top 20 program offered Seals Jones and his family $300,000 in cash, use of a luxury suite during football season, 8 tickets, and $1,000 a month for Ricky, as well as $500 for his family, if he signed their national letter of intent. The elder Jones took it a step further, claiming the offer was a lot higher than that, and that in addition to the $600,000, one ACC and one SEC school offered to double any monetary value that the family was weighing from another program. In the end, he says his family rejected all of them out of principle and fear of inevitably getting caught. I got to call BS. Because nobody turns down 600 G's.
No.
First of all.
And all of that other bonus added on, you know, the luxury suite, the $1,000 a month for the kid. Come on.
I don't know. Okay, here's the thing. You got two schools of thought. You got an SEC team that is desperate enough and willing to spend the money. Okay.
There's a lot of them out there.
Are there?
Well,
you got to be desperate enough.
When you say desperate enough, desperation comes almost every single year. You're desperate to have your team perform well if you're a high power booster.
Okay,
desperation is constant for them.
Okay, I guess that's true. If it's a booster working as a rogue,
yes,
individual,
and I think a lot of these are.
Yeah, well, this is saying that it came from ACC or SEC schools.
Did they say it came from the actual school itself? Because I highly doubt any coaching staff in America would do something like
that. Well, that's what I'm saying. It says one ACC and one SEC school. This is according to the report. This is on BleacherReport.com.
I would think those would be high-powered boosters.
Does it not amaze you, though, all the smoke around the A&M program? And yesterday we had the story about two guys getting in trouble, and one guy was suspended, I think, for a game and one for a half for their involvement in it, and it was a misdemeanor deal. But
yeah.
But I'm thinking, man, there is always something with A&M. And, oh, by the way, the Manziel thing's still not settled out. And I got to give a special, huge, stinky, sweaty, nasty, disgusting, terrible jockstrap to the NCAA.
A William the Refrigerator Perry after 3-hour practice jockstrap?
During 2 days,
Let
yes.
that visual sink
yeah,
in.
Yeah. Okay, so the NCAA spoke to Johnny Manziel, turns out. Okay, that's great. They spoke to him on Sunday.
This Sunday.
3 days ago. Or 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Game week. It's technically game week.
It's game week. It was 2 days ago, and this has been going on for a month. And they just now get around to sitting down with Johnny Manziel. Apparently, it was a 6-hour conversation, according to reports.
Was Uncle Nate there?
I don't know that. I'm going to guess probably not. His attorney did not return calls to ESPN's Brett McMurphy on Monday night seeking comment. But there was a story out today on ESPN.com and elsewhere that he did sit down with investigators for 6 hours. And again, for them to wait until game week, when there was so much smoke about this leading up to this point, is amazing to me.
Do they want to drag this out? I'm trying to figure this out. If the NCAA wanted to push this behind, I mean, this is a stain on college football if all this is true, and it will continue to be so unless it's regulated somehow, which I don't see it being regulated anywhere in the future. But don't they want this to be out of the headlines? Don't they want to focus on the start of college football season? Nope, we're going to visit them on game week because we've been gathering the evidence. That's, I'm sure, what they've been saying.
If you're gathering evidence, though, okay, look, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, Chris Kane murdered somebody, I may do an investigation, but I guarantee you one of the first things I'm going to do is do what?
Talk to me!
Exactly, Chris Kane. Thank you very much. You know what? I don't have any background in investigation or police work.
But you did say Holiday Inn Express last night.
And I watch a lot of Law & Order, so I mean, I obviously know what I'm talking about. And right about the time I'm about to put you behind bars, your attorney comes in and waves one of those blue thingies and saves the day. So it's a lot of inadmissible crap that I can't use against you,
unfortunately, for
me. Great for you. So continue your work as a high-powered morning show host on KETV.
I will. Thank you very much.
I mean,
for now.
Just that easy. We got you out of a murder case right there. Boom.
I interview a lot of lawyers on Good Morning Arkansas. I know a few people.
It's always good to get advice.
Yeah.
You talk to a lot of people.
I do.
I bet you talk to your mechanic guy, and you still don't know how to fix your car. So
not yet.
But you're obviously gleaning more from your conversations with attorneys.
Yes. And doctors. I mean, I sit there and I interview doctors every day, so I feel like eventually I can diagnose something pretty soon. I don't know what yet, but something soon.
Hurts right here.
It does.
When I do this. Don't do that anymore. Okay, so if you want to weigh in on the Manziel thing, I just can't imagine that they would wait until Sunday to do it. That kills me. This Ricky Seals-Jones thing.
Is he a current player on the team?
Yeah, he's a freshman wide receiver.
Okay, so five-star recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't remember ever as a kid seeing guys with hyphenated names. There's a lot of that.
There are
a lot of dudes with hyphenated names. When did that start happening? When did that become in vogue?
Maurice Jones-Drew.
He was
a big one.
He's setting the bar. He is the gold standard for hyphenated dudes. But when did that happen? I guess Malcolm Jamal Warner back in the day on the Cosby Show.
That's the original.
That is the original. That's the first dude I can remember being hyphenated. When did dudes start hyphenating their names? What did I miss here?
You missed it.
I guess I don't get it.
I don't know. You know, Jones-Drew, I just know because I'm a Jaguar fan.
Yeah.
His uncle's last name.
Well, he's the best.
Was Drew.
He's the best.
Oh, yeah, he's the man.
Well, there's we got the kid from the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Cardis Samuels.
Really?
Austin Cardis Samuels is his name. Yeah.
A hyphen. It's a big thing.
There's a lot of hyphenated dudes. I mean, women, yes. I understand that because you want to keep your name and you hyphenate. And you take your husband's name, too.
That's been done for a while.
Yeah, which I also frown on that. But, hey, to each their own.
That's right.
I got to be honest.
I don't want to get into that.
If my wife told me she wanted to hyphenate, we'd have serious issues. I don't know about that.
My wife joked about it one time, and I was like, no.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I don't, you know, I can respect the fact that women are proud of their name and all that. That's cool. Especially if you're trading for a bad name. Like, if your husband's got a really kind of a clowny last name that people are going to make fun of, I can see it, you know.
Takes away from it a little bit.
Yeah.
See, my wife dropped her middle name and just moved it over. I know that's another thing that some women do.
She dropped and moved?
She dropped and moved. She dropped the middle name because she didn't like it, and then she moved.
What was it?
Taylor.
I think that's a great middle name.
I thought it was, too. She didn't like it. I called her that one time. About got killed. But she dropped it and moved.
I think she should go by C.T. Kane. I think that would be very catchy.
C.T.
Kane? C.T. Kane.
C.T. Kane.
C.T. Kane. Or she could go by C. Taylor Kane and sound like an attorney.
Ooh.
When did that become in vogue? When did attorneys start using the first initial middle name and last name? They like that.
Sounds professional.
What's your middle name?
Christian.
That's your middle name?
That's my middle name. For anyone who's wondering, my real name is John Christian Kane. I've always gone by Chris, though.
That's not right.
Like some TV thing that I wanted to do.
And he's such an angel, I feel so comfortable calling you JC.
No, but, you know, I haven't walked on water yet.
No, you're not quite to that standard, but you're doing a good job. You're better than most people I know, but I hang out with a lot of guys in the buzz, so you have to take that with a huge, gigantic salt lick, just a grain of salt.
That is a rowdy crew.
So, what do you think about Manziel? What do you think about this receiver? Are you buying any of this story? What do you want to see? Let me ask you this, Chris. You've gone to a lot of Razorback games.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see? And I need to ask Jim Harris this, too. What would you like to see changed on game day as far as atmosphere? Brett Bielema has said we're going to run through the A, but there are going to be a lot of changes that are coming, including engaging the fan base, especially the student section, a little bit more. What kinds of things? Because David's been talking about this. At minimum, Basil wants to see like 10 times more hog calls. It is a unique thing.
Yeah.
It is very annoying to the opposing team and their fans. I think we should do the hog call almost – nonstop. I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, it gets exhausting. I'm going to need something to take my mind off the fact that I'm burning up, though, that I'm melting down sitting in those east stands on game day.
Yeah, if you're going to be on the east side.
It's going to be 98 degrees at kickoff. It's going to be brutal. It may be the hottest start to a game. You know, there was a game several years ago, and I can't remember which game it was, where they moved the game back a couple of hours.
Based on the temperature?
Yes. Yes. It was a Warm Memorial game when they opened a Little Rock.
This one, they really should. This is going to be
It may have been the UNLV game.
Jacobian and I were talking the other day, and he said, I guarantee you people are going to be passing out in the stands at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Not from the festivities beforehand, not just that. I mean, that'll help.
If you do your normal game day deal, and I know a lot of people who do, and you get up at 6 o'clock and start pounding Bloody Marys, bro, by 3 o'clock, you're going to be A, hammered, and B, sweating profusely.
Toasty.
Let me just say this. You better back your Bloody with a big, giant water.
That's a best suggestion would be drink water before and during the game for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a legitimate chance of passing out, and you don't want that to happen in a game.
No, but I guarantee you, on Tuesday when we come back in, because we're off on Monday, I guarantee you there will be calls from folks talking about how the guy next to him passed out, or the girl next to him passed out, or
Absolutely.
Three people in their row passed out, or whatever.
You know, as far as things go, though, I'm with Basil on the hall call. I like that. I mean, it's unique. It's distracting to another team, especially if they haven't been there before.
Yes.
Then they don't really know what it's like when 70,000-plus are doing that. You know what I think they're going to try and do this year? I think they're going to try to get Twitter involved somehow, some way, Jumbotron style, where they post tweets. And I don't think it's going to be this huge thing, but I think that might be something they try and do during the game. When you see it on the media cover, when you see how involved everyone is on Twitter there, that's going to be something I think they're going to try to evoke.
Well, and if you're
going to social media presence.
Yeah, if he's talking about specifically the student section, I mean, obviously Twitter, the kids are very tweet savvy.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's something that they'll be all over. I think that's a great way to engage the kids.
I'm trying to figure out, though,
I would love for them to find something unique a la what they had at Wisconsin with the jump around deal. It'd be great. You got to have the right song, the right activity to go with it. But I think they can do something unique. You know, one of the most fun things I can remember, and I didn't get to go to a game last year because of my UCA schedule, but a couple of years ago I went, and they had the Blue Man Group was in town. And they had those guys down on the field, and they did this deal. And they, you know, of course, they do their quirky little goofy Blue Man thing. And then the guy, like, you know, he kind of looked around, and he opened his shirt, and he had a Razorback shirt underneath, and everybody went nuts. And I thought it was so cool. I mean, I love crap like that. Those kind of unique things that are out of the ordinary, you can't always do something like that. But, I mean, you can usually find something unique if you think about it. And God knows, they got an unlimited budget to come up with marketing ideas and doing unique things like that. I don't care if you got to fly in Robin Thicke and do blurred lines at halftime, and whatever it is.
He could really double as a referee out there. You got to be careful. With that outfit he was wearing the other night, you're talking about a guy. He could get confusing.
What would it cost us to get Miley Cyrus's tongue at the opener? I mean, can we do this? I mean, let's pull something off. At least
it'll stretch from L.A.
How much could you, I mean, what could you get at an auction block for that foam finger she was using the other night? Anyway.
What are they going to, I mean, how often is that going to be used in pop culture references throughout the rest of the year now? Hey, maybe for the rest of, maybe 5 years from now, especially at games, foam fingers now. Expect Miley Cyrus's face to be on some foam fingers this year.
Well,
at minor league baseball games, my friend, it will happen.
I think I speak for everybody when I say, careful where you put that foam finger. You don't know where it's been.
Woo! That foam finger has to pick up its prescription at Walgreens for penicillin.
Jamie.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey,
what's
buddy,
happening?
I've got an idea for the crowd. The games that I've been to, I've noticed that, have you ever noticed, like, on third down, that it's like people don't know what to do? You know, the crowd, you got some guy over here yelling, one guy's clapping his hands, and it's just like you guys are talking about. But what if we do something like they do on the kickoffs, where we shorten the hog call down, and we just do the last line of it?
Just the woo pig suey Razorbacks.
Yeah, because the whole hog call, I love it, but it's too long.
You know what? That would be great. And you can do the woo. They could do the woo the whole lead up to the snap, and then when they snap the ball, you could do pig suey Razorbacks.
That
could throw them off.
I like that idea.
I do too.
That would be awesome. You know, shorten the hog call down or speed it up. Do a fast hog call or something. I don't know.
Woo pig suey Razorbacks. Woo pig suey.
I like the hold though. You know. They might try to test our lungs, though, and see if they can hold us out until.
Well, and of course, with Gus Malzahn, we won't be able to even get the woo out before they snap the ball. So,
But
I like it, Jamie.
I like anything that's different.
We got to do something. We need something going there. I do agree with that.
What's the ultimate halftime show at a Razorback game?
Well, that's tough. Totally me on this one. I have no idea. Maybe Justin Moore.
Justin Moore would be a great halftime show. You're not going to find too many more devout Razorback fans that happen to be national performers.
Justin Moore would be fantastic.
Bring him on. Bring him on.
I guarantee they're probably working on that. Jamie, thank you, man.
Jamie, thank you. Hey, speaking of third down, he just mentioned that. I know we've talked about it before. We have to mention it again, though, because every Razorback game I go to, it happens. When the offensive team that you're rooting for is on third down, don't scream and cheer. No, 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 no. Don't. You just don't do it.
What do? Sit on your
hands? Just, no, you just watch. Enjoy. And if they do something good, which hopefully they do, then you cheer. It's a simple concept. It surprises me every time I go to a game and people start going crazy when the Razorbacks are on third down. I'm thinking, okay.
What about football 101? You should have brought that up. Although, what about this?
What?
What about this?
Huh.
Third and one. You know it's a run play. We got the ball.
Do you?
We want to smash it in their face.
Do you?
I want to pump that offensive line up.
Do you?
Because you know what? They work so hard on their bodies in the offseason with the new strength and conditioning coach. I want to give them a little extra boost.
You want to
cheer and a scream.
Pump them up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? You have that right. Okay. Everyone has the right to cheer. I'm just saying.
If it's third and 17, I want to pipe down, make sure they get the signal right.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Oh, we don't have two in third and 17.
No.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. It's 10:47. We'll be back at Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Paging Mr. Herman. Mr. B.W. Herman.
Or Kevin Wilson.
I think he heard you.
Yeah. We're going to talk about some of the games we're going to pick in the zone after the break. And we'll hear more from Brett Bielema.
It's game week.
It is, buddy. Thank God. Jim Harris at 11 o'clock. Jay Walker from the University of Louisiana. And that's it. That's it.
And you.
Coming up at 11:30. And yes, you, the listener. If you want in, 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. We will take calls, keep these servers coming live, fan feedback, and whatever else after the break.